All right, good evening. Welcome. It is just a wonderful gift to share some time together with some wonderful people. We especially are thankful for Invisible Children for making this stop on their way and to give us an upfront personal understanding of the work that you do. And we certainly will hold you in our prayers and are thankful for what you've endured this spring and look forward to really good things in our world as a result of the work that you're doing. So it's just a blessing to have some of you with us tonight. And I welcome everyone who is here tonight. I thank you so much for coming out to learn with me, and I hope that we will all take away something that we can use every day, something that we can offer to the world every day because of what we learn here tonight. And a very special welcome to Kizito, who came all the way from Uganda to be with us. And so, with that, let us take a moment to lift up our prayers to the Lord. Thank you, God, for your presence with us here tonight. Thank you for all that you have gathered in our midst. And we thank you for all that you are providing this day. Open our hearts and minds to hear your truth and your love and your mercy and your grace being extended through the work of Invisible Children. Strengthen each of those members of Invisible Children to continue to carry on and do the work you have called them to do. And help each of us to respond with faithfulness as we hear the stories this evening. We ask and lift up this prayer in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And with that, I'm going to turn this over to Lawrence. And I don't remember your last name. I'm sorry.
Lawrence Bremer.
Lawrence Bremer is here, and he's going to begin our evening.
Good evening, everybody. Oh, it's so cool to be here. It is really just special for our team to be here at the church this evening. We've been talking about this dream for a long time now. So we just want to thank you all so very much for coming out and being with us today. A special thank you, Mrs. Stelder, for coordinating this. She's been working really hard with my teammate Emily and Debbie back in the past few months to get this on our calendar and to get our team here all the way from San Diego, California. So it's really cool to be here. So first off, my name is Lawrence, and I'm here with my teammate Prusha, and Jess, and Emily, Diana, and Castillo. And we are all full-time volunteers with an organization called Invisible Children. I'm sure that most of you are familiar with it, but in case you haven't met us yet, Invisible Children is working to end Africa's longest-running armed conflict. And this is all led by one man named Joseph Kony. And you might have heard that name over the past 6 or 7 weeks as well. So this has been perpetuated by one person who has been committing horrible atrocities across three different countries for over 26 years. And he started off in a country in Uganda and has since moved to update from the first film. Now, the first film, you may remember, we released back in March, and we expected a few thousand of our supporters to watch the film, share it, hopefully talk about it at dinner time and get things started. But now, 6 weeks later, over 140 million people around the world have seen this film. It has really sparked some incredible conversation across many platforms. So we're going to show that one first, get right to part two, and then my man over there, Gazito, is going to take the stage. He is here all the way from Northern Uganda, and he's going to share his personal story about how this very same conflict has affected his life as well. And that'll be the perfect time for you guys to ask any questions that you might have for Gazito or for myself. We'd love to answer those. We're an open book, so if you have anything at the time, I'll take questions then. But before we get to Gazito, we'll watch the film, so sit back and enjoy 2024.
Humanity's greatest desire is to belong and connect. And now we see each other. We hear each other.
Grandpa, I love you. Where are you?
Why won't I take a picture?
We share what we love, and it reminds us what we all have in common.
I've had all lives and well. After 7.5 days.
And you got me to get those. You are not my best friend. Why did you go?
And this connection is changing the way the world works. Governments are trying to keep up. And older generations are concerned.
Many people are very concerned about tomorrow, so it could get worse next year.
The game has new rules. The next 27 minutes are an experiment. But in order for it to work, you have to pay attention.
Jacob.
Jacob, are you a friend?
He has a friend.
It's been almost 10 years since Jacob and I became friends. But when my friends and I first met him in Uganda, in Central Africa, it was in very different circumstances. He was running for his life.
You go to school here?
Yes.
Yes, I said you know English so well.
I know.
Yeah. How many of you can stay here?
The night I first met Jacob, he told me what he and other children in northern Uganda were living through.
We worry that they will tell me very such a thing that they will give us. My brother tried to escape, then he came to the farm. He got his knife.
Did you see it?
I do.
If you are lucky, you are sweet. How you can be contacted by the rebels. Of course, how is far away from God?
They will catch us, they will take us to the beach. So come on, save our life.
Everything in my heart told me to do something. And so I made him a promise.
And you're also going to do everything that we can to stop them.
You hear my words? You know what I mean?
We are going to stop them. We're going to stop them.
I made that promise to Jacob, not knowing what it would mean. But now I do. Over the past 9 years, I have fought to fulfill it. And the fight has led me here, to this movie you're watching. Because that promise is not just about Jacob, or me. It's also about you. And this year, 2012, is the year that we can finally fulfill it. And if we succeed, we change the course of human history. But time is running out. To level with you, this movie expires on December 31st, 2012. And its only purpose is to stop the rebel group, the LRA, and their leader, Joseph Kony. And I'm about to tell you exactly how we're going to do it. son Gavin has never, I've never really explained to him what I do. He knows I work in Africa, but he doesn't know what the war's about or who Joseph Kony is. So I'm going to explain it to him for the first time today. That's what we're doing. So Gavin, are you ready? I'm going to ask you some questions, and you can just look at me and ask and answer the questions. What do I do for a job?
I to stop the bad guys from TV.
Who are the bad guys? Do you know what
Star Wars
people?
Yeah.
Those are the bad guys.
Yeah.
Can I tell you the bad guy's name?
Yeah.
So this is the guy Joseph Kony.
Is the bad guy?
Yeah. Who's this? Joseph Kony, he has an army, okay? And what he does is he takes children from their parents and he gives them a gun to shoot and he makes them shoot and kill other people.
But they're not going to do what he says because my friends are.
Yeah, they don't want to do what he says, but he forces them to do bad things. What do you think about that?
Same.
I couldn't explain to Gavin the details of what Joseph Kony really does. Because the truth is, Kony abducts kids just like Gavin. For 26 years, Kony has been kidnapping children into his rebel group, the LRA. Turning the girls into sex slaves. And the boys into child soldiers. He makes them mutilate people's faces. And he forces them to kill their own parents. And this is not just a few children. It's been over 30,000 of them. And Jacob was one of those children. As if Kony's crimes aren't bad enough, he is not fighting for any cause, but only to maintain his power. He is not supported by anyone, and he has repeatedly used peace talks to rearm and murder again and again.
Kony, different times provoke peace and then just regain strength and back.
This is the head prosecutor for the International Criminal Court. In 2002, when the court was started, their job was to find and demand the arrest of the world's worst criminals. Although there are a lot of warlords, murderers, and dictators in the world, the perversity of Kony's crimes made him first on the court's list.
Kony, the first guy in 1950s. By the time this is there, he has been one of the war crimes committed against the population, including murder, sexual slavery, race, abductions. We need to plan how to arrest Kony. Start a plan. And start to receive it. In fact, the only way for Kony is showing him that we're going to arrest him.
What do you think we should do about it?
We should stop him.
The criminal kid, Kony, stop him, and then solve all the problems.
We should stop who?
Him.
It's obvious that Kony should be stopped. The problem is 99% of the planet doesn't know who he is. If they knew, Kony would have been stopped long ago.
Let the world, let the international community get justice for him there, for him wherever he is. First, to rescue our children. And secondly, we were given justice.
We are determined to cooperate with any friend of humanity to ensure that this mindless killing and slaughter is ended.
When my friends and I came home from Uganda, we thought that if the government knew, they would do something to stop him. But everyone in Washington we talked to said, there is no way the United States will ever get involved in a conflict where our national security or financial interests aren't at stake.
No administration, Republican, Democrat, Obama, Bush, it doesn't matter, would do enough because it's simply not an important enough issue on the radar screen of American foreign policy.
Since the government said it was impossible, we didn't know what else to do but tell everyone we could about Jacob and the invisible children.
It showed us we could do as many people as possible in such a way that we can't be ignored.
And when we did, people were shocked, and their awareness turned into action. We started something, a community.
I have friends that have been living in this conflict their entire life. Fight for that, because that is what's going to change this world, and that is what defines us.
We got creative, and we got loud.
It's not over! It's not over! It's not over!
And as the LRA began to move into other countries, Jacob and other Ugandans came to the U.S. to speak on behalf of all people suffering because of Comey. Even though Uganda was relatively safe, they felt compelled to tell the world that Comey was still out there and had to be stopped. We built a community around the idea that where you live shouldn't determine whether you live. We were committed to stop Comey and rebuild what he had destroyed. And because we couldn't wait for institutions or governments to step in, we did it ourselves, with our time, talent, and money. So we rebuilt schools.
The best you can offer a child is by letting them be independent, and that was providing education.
We created jobs.
I have seen the lives of those who have been hopeless. Now they have hope.
And we built an early warning radio network on the front line of the war to protect villagers from rebel attacks.
To update real time what's happening on the war zone 8,000 miles away.
All of this was funded by an army of young people who put their money toward their belief in the value of all human life. They gave a few dollars a month of what little they had to a program called TRY and proved that a bunch of littles could make a big difference. And as a result, the unseen became visible.
To help.
To advice and assistance, not putting Americans into combat, to
to the region end this threat once and for all, and that was a worthwhile investment.
I mean, this is saying you cannot do it, and now when I see you can't do it, I am overwhelmed.
After 8 years of work, the government finally heard us. And in October of 2011, 100 American advisors were sent into Central Africa to assist the Ugandan army in arresting Kony and stopping the LRA. It was the first time in history that the United States took that kind of action because the people demanded it. Not for self-defense, but because it was right. They decide the advisors stay or leave. So we need to remind them that in this election year, fighting and name-calling, no matter what side you're on, this is something we can all agree on.
If a senator or congressman says 25 phone calls on any issue, on any given day, it is noted. When citizens, by the hundreds of thousands, start demanding that our government do something, suddenly it becomes in the national interest of the United States government to respond to this problem.
We've identified the 12 policymakers that could change the game regarding voting, so we're targeting them. On our website, we've made it easy to write them directly, call them, meet with them, and get their attention. If my son were kidnapped and forced to kill, it would be all over the news. So we are making CONI world news by redefining the propaganda we see all day, every day, that dictates who and what we pay attention to.
A lot of people feel powerless to communicate their ideas. They think that, okay, you know, I'm not a corporation, I don't own my own magazine or news station, I just don't have any say. But seeing what I've done, I think it's a power a lot of people to realize that one individual can make an impact. And I actually want to demystify and say, here are these really simple tools. Go out and rock it.
And that's just what we intend to do. Our goal is to change the conversation of our culture and get people to ask, who is Joseph Kony? We have printed hundreds of thousands of posters, stickers, yard signs, and flyers that are right now, today, being put up in major cities all over the world. We have thousands of Kony 2012 bracelets that we want everyone to wear, this year only. Each bracelet has a unique ID number. Input that number and you enter the mission to make Kony famous. You can geotag your posters and track your impact in real time. Everything you need is in a box called the Action Kit. It has two bracelets, one for you and one to give away. And if you want to help fund our life-saving programs, donate a few dollars a month through Tribe, and you can have the Action Kit for free. Start making Kony famous today. But all of these efforts will culminate on one day, April 20th, when we cover the night. This is the day when we will meet at sundown and blanket every street in every city till the sun comes up. We will be smart and we will be thorough. The rest of the world will go to bed Friday night and wake up to hundreds of thousands of posters demanding justice on every corner. It's always been that the decisions made by the few, with the money and the power, dictated the priorities of their government and the stories in the media. They determined the lives and the opportunities of their citizens. But now there is something bigger than that. The people of the world see each other and can protect each other. It's turning the system upside down, and it changes everything.
We are living in a new world, a Facebook world, in which 750 million people share ideas. Not thinking in borders is a global community bigger than the US. Joseph Kony was committing crimes for 20 years, and no one cared. We care.
We have reached a crucial time in history, where what we do or don't do right now will affect every generation to come. Arresting Joseph Kony will prove that the world we live in has new rules, that the technology that has brought our planet together is allowing us to respond to the problems of our friends.
When it is named by the Supreme Court Justice, it should be celebrated like one right.
We are not just studying human history, we are shaping it. At the end of my life, I want to say that the world we've left behind is one that Gavin can be proud of, a place that doesn't allow Joseph Konys and child soldiers, a place where children, no matter where they live, have a childhood free from fear.
I'm going to be with you, Dad.
When you grow up?
Yeah. I'm going to come with you to Africa.
The better world we want is coming. is just waiting for us to stop at nothing.
Invisible Children's programs on the ground, we came home, and in 2005,
began telling true stories with our friends affected by LRA violence. Because we have seen that stories can change lives and inspire young people toward action.
It's never occurred to me that there's people in the worst situation that we like that to hear what their lives are today.
And you'll definitely see me. I'll be doing something about it.
It essentially from what allows those kids to understand what it's like to feel beyond themselves. So the global community is literally in their backyard.
I've never seen anything like this. And now it's a huge part of our lives.
It becomes our duty as humans to spread awareness of inhumane conditions in the world anywhere.
The world is not about to end unless people like you, people like us, come back and speak.
It is being driven by you, going on the forefront.
It's a real dream. It's a dream. It's a very real. Whoever you need it, protecting each other.
When we made our 11th film, Come in 2012, the LRA was committing atrocities in the Democratic Republic of Congo, Central African Republic, and South Sudan. And they still are. The goal of Come in 2012 is to make that known and rally the world in support of the effort to finally stop the LRA violence. That started with making Tony famous. And you did that. We've hardly been able to keep up.
That's a big office has been so busy.
Over the past 2 weeks, we've been responding to thousands and thousands of emails, people wanting more information.
200 calls every 2 minutes from supporters trying to be involved.
And 2 weeks after 2012 launched, two bipartisan resolutions supporting the effort to disarm the LRA were introduced into the House and Senate and have now been signed by nearly 100 members of Congress. And what had started primarily in North America began to spread around the world. And because of the global response, the support and accountability for the ongoing effort to stop the LRA is at an all-time high. And in March of 2012, the African Union, which is made up of nearly every country on the continent, recently announced it will step up its commitment and unite the efforts of Uganda, DRC, CAR, and South Sudan.
The Peace and Security Council of the African Union has approved the launch of a 5,000 strong regional force meant to track down the elusive LRA leader, Joseph Kony.
The mission we have is to spread this economy from bringing more suffering to the people of the affected areas.
The most important thing you can do right now is to ask your leaders to support these ongoing efforts. And then, on April 20th, join us wherever you are, wherever you live, for Cover the Net. Progress is being made, and we are not stopping. But neither is the LRA.
Since the LRA left Uganda in 2006, they have been very active in the Central African Republic, Equatorial Sudan, and the Congo.
Since 2008, the LRA has killed over 2,400 people. And in the 4 weeks since Kony 2012 launched, they have reportedly abducted 57 more. And while the LRA size is only around 250 fighters, their capacity for destruction remains disproportionately large, currently displacing 440,000 people. And they are still, right now, holding captive hundreds of women and children.
These are the villages of one, what to tell us if they decide to have the red day on.
Si fue un buen mensaje a Tony de ser la población tranquila y continuar a chile tranquila la población.
The LRA is a highly mobile, well-trained, violent rebel group with no achievable political purpose. And the traditional means used to stop them have not worked. Despite this, incredible efforts have been made by religious and political leaders to negotiate a peaceful solution. Yet each time negotiations were put on the table, they were unable to stop LRA violence. And most recently, Kony 2012
Tony exploited the Juba peace talks to resupply and build back his forces through mass abductions.
But this already is made of the him. That's a complete colony. Different times provoke peace and then just regain strength and back. These guys are committing crimes as a normal way to get power.
As such now, when we say we're still safe, we need a way back to kind of upset.
Yeah, everyone is so disappointed. People want to cry. CNN, Al Jazeera, BBC were all there to witness the war end, but quite did not come out, and that was the most disappointing thing. 5 times this process has failed. So, anyone come up with a formula of how conflict is stopped is welcome, because the children have to come back home.
Because if letters forgive you, letters forgive you, but really doesn't want. So say, we are trying to forgive someone who doesn't want that.
The Ugandan military has tried many times as well, and has pursued the LRA across borders, drastically reducing their capacity. But a military-only solution has not been successful either. And recently, an operation in 2008 led significant reprisal attacks by the LRA against civilians. Learning from these challenges of the past is crucial to achieve success going forward.
Everyone across the board will agree it's a complex one and requires a multi-pronged approach.
Invisible Children is just one of many organizations on the ground, and we were not the first. Stopping the LRA violence is possible, but it will take increased support for the comprehensive efforts conceived and led by local leaders. Many of the communities vulnerable to attacks have no way to be warned of LRA movements. In response, local partners are building an early warning radio network.
Le projet d'alerte précoce. Et voilà que ces rêves s'est réalisé aujourd'hui.
If there is a radio communication, it gives enough time to save lives.
Coney and his top commanders use paralyzing fear tactics to discourage escape. So local partners are using FM radio broadcasts and flyers to send messages directly to the LRA about how to escape.
The system that the radio is that the people on a received the money and the people that are using the money to investigate and to solve the issue.
We were contacted by the UN who asked us to design flyers that would be culturally sensitive and reach out to the LRA directly.
It gives them hope. A wife of Joseph Horn defected from car because she saw the flyer.
Not before I died, I think. No, what I need to hear. On top of that, I'm in the middle of the jam and I'm not in the middle of the jam.
Supporting rehabilitation in the communities currently affected by the LRA is crucial.
Il y a eu des centaines et des centaines d'enfants qui ont été arrêtés par la RDA. Il faut un accompagnement psychosocial et aider à s'intégrer dans la communauté.
Invisible Children has committed to build a rehabilitation center which the first phase is finished.
Supporting reconstruction in the post-conflict areas in northern Uganda is also crucial for lasting peace.
When we have had 20 years of war, we don't just fix that in a few months, a few years.
Business is booming because there's peace now in northern Uganda. The community in a children have taken ownership of their own community.
It is very important to invest in education.
Since 2005, over 4,000 students have benefited from our program.
I'm really happy, and I have said I was doing very high level. Right now, I'm achieving high doing no fun. I want to promote justice in my community, I want to promote justice in the whole world.
These first 3 steps are critically important, but unless Joseph Kony and his top commanders surrender or are arrested, their atrocities will not stop.
The ICC has indicted Joseph Kony and the Mormon army. They are waiting for Kony to face justice. But how does justice happen?
And with the state parties and the national community, they don't need to respect. There's no problem going on responding to tomorrow, it's perfect.
The interest of joining military force, trying to look for quality, to me, I think that is the best way forward.
When was it right?
international peace and security. Last I checked, when something is threatening the fluid in the country, that's a threat to international peace and security. Then it becomes a question of collective responsibility. It is not the sole responsibility of the Ugandan military to go chasing a rebel group through different countries and try to catch that.
Strengthening the ongoing efforts of the African Union and regional governments is the best way to apprehend top caliber leadership, and is something that every country in the world can support.
We are determined, we are resolved, and we are going to pursue this appointment and still the effort of God for whom to say that.
Telling your leaders that you care is critical for the success of these efforts. Your voice changes everything.
thank you for giving us this time. My name is Adam Physical. I come from Northern Uganda, and I work with this children as a member of the Legacy Scholarship Program. I'm so glad to be here. This is my very first time in Virginia, and I'm so excited to be here. And I think this is a special group because, unlike previous days of our tour, we've been meeting high school students and college students, but this time is a special group and it's a first of its kind because we have parents, we have grandparents, and it's very exciting to share that this story with you all. A number of years ago, I was living a different kind of life, and I wish for the time to come when the whole world did know for the kind of life that young people have been going through in Uganda and right now in Central Africa. And for many years I didn't see that time come. But today, yeah, because right now the whole world is already aware about who has been going from Northern Uganda for a number of years. The whole world is thinking about this economy, the whole world is thinking about the LRA. And I'm glad because after awareness, the next thing that we follow will be action that we see, so many things that we will have to ensure that this country is going on then. So, just as you watch the video of it, I was born in the Northern Uganda, grew up my entire time in the Northern Uganda, and I was about 4 years old when this country started in the Northern Uganda. And as a child, life was so hard for us at that time because we found ourselves being protected anywhere against the government and Israel will come. Time and again, they were attacked our homes, they were attacked our communities and have that so many kids. Life was so hard. And as young kids, we became on parents for any kind of protection, any kind of guidance. But then at that time, we were together. Time would come when our own parents would not be in position to offer any kind of protection to us. And life was a survival for the day. During the daytime, we were always forced to run away to leave our homes as fast as we could in order to avoid battle because the rebels attacked our communities, our homes at any time. And the only way that we saved from our captures was to be alive all the time and leave our homes at any time that they attack. And when it comes to night, it was worse because I personally grew up in a village that was far away from the city center, and we didn't have anywhere safe where we would spend our night because it wasn't safe for us to be in our houses at night because they first of that any time in the night and after that so many kids. So, but we said we were forced to always leave our homes, leave our houses, and go out to spend our nights in the jungle. And it was very common to see young kids, sometimes as young as 5 years old, 6 years old, 10 years old, leaving their own houses in the middle of the night and going out in the jungle on their own to spend their nights, only to come back home the next morning. It was a challenging experience, but that was the only option that we were left with. So many kids were abducted, so many people lost their lives in the process. People were very free, moved from one place to the next, and thousands of people were displaced from their own homes. I personally lived in a displacement camp for over 10 years, where so many people were displaced from different areas, were forced to live in only one small and dark private area, and no one was allowed to remove very serious type outside the displacement camp. It was so hard, people were not it was a very hard experience. But as I speak now, I'm so glad because Northern Uganda is peaceful today. Just a project and discovered from the world of Northern Uganda. And as I speak now, there is peace in Northern Uganda. People are once again free to move from one place to the next. Kids are now free to be able to go to schools today. And displacement camps are no more as I speak now. I'm also glad that my health conditions were so hard for us at that time, but I have been, I'm not sure few lucky kids who managed to escape being abducted, and I was also able to go to school, and that's why I am here today. Personally, I believe that this conflict took so long in Northern Uganda because the outside world wasn't aware of what was going on, but I'm glad when it was actually came that sometimes they did a lot to spread information about this conflict. So many people, and that was to me one of the reasons that made this world come to an end in Northern Uganda today. some of them may like to hear a share of the story with because I do believe that as people from the learning panel will try our best to bring the conflict of the name of our own, but they took us on this way. This is the 26th year that this conflict is going on. And so after trying for so long, we realized that it wasn't possible for us to bring the word of the name of our own. We needed support, we needed help from the people of elsewhere. And that's why we are sharing this conflict with you today. And invite you to join us so that together we can do a lot more to bring this world once and for all to the final day. But as I speak now, now that we have expressed to our land, that doesn't mean that the war is over. After leaving Nigeria, Joseph Kony and his fellow animal came to the Democratic Republic of Congo, Central African Republic, and Southern Sudan, where they are still continuing to carry out the same atrocities like they did in Nigeria up to now. And as I speak now, thousands of kids are still on the run for their lives. So many kids are being abducted day and night up to now, and thousands of people are being displaced from their own homes. And that's why we feel that now that this work must be brought to an end, because the experiences that young people experience that thousands of people are going through are hard to imagine. This is only one person who is doing God's suffering to so many people. So we believe that as people today in the world, we live in a world which is like a global village where what experience in one part of the world affects us all. Yes, today we can do a lot more together. We can speak out, we can use our voices to speak out against any form of injustice in the entire world. That is what we are asking of you today. We can talk, we can use our voices today to say no, and we can do all that we can to ensure that we see this world go to the final end. When I was still a young child at that time, I recall one time asking my mom why we were only dying on the run. And what she told me at that time was that I should leave everything to her. She's doing all the things that we're doing. This world of the end so that we stop running. But as I speak now, because of this same conflict, she's no more, but so many people are still running. Then I realized that it was not an individual effort that is required to bring the world to an end. It's more of a collective effort, and that's why we are today speaking out here, sending information to the old brothers, inviting people to join us so that together we can bring this world to an end. I'm not doing this because I lost my mom in this conflict. I'm doing this because so many brothers are still dying out there right now. So many kids are still feeling innocent. They have to get a force by the world that they don't understand. And that's why we can't wait to see this continue any longer. And we are encouraging each and every one of you to make up your minds today to do all what we can to ensure that this war is brought to an end. Doesn't matter how old we are, doesn't matter who you are today, what's important is anything that we can contribute to bring this war to an end and save some of the lives that have suffered against the things that are out there today. So glad to be here and share this story with you. And do hope that you will join us and tell us people in the world who are today who are working hard to ensure that this war is going to an end. And by doing that, we'll be not only be saving thousands of lives, but we'll be working hard to bring this longest conflict to an end. So I want to thank you so much for giving us this time, and do hope that you will do anything that you can to join us with so many people out in the world to bring this conflict to an end. Thank you so much.
This guy, Cicito. So this is Cicito's second tour here in the United States, and he's a mentor for 34 students who are in our Legacy Scholarship Program. High school students. 34 high school students. But for our team, he's like a mentor to us as well. So it's really cool to have him on the road. This film has been seen again by millions and millions of people, but only a fraction of those who've seen the film get the opportunity to hear from someone who was personally affected by the outbreak. So it's really cool to have you here. So let's give him another round of applause. So we just through a lot of information that you, especially for those who haven't already seen the film. And there's no way that we could possibly fit a 26-year-long history into two short NF films. It's not possible. So we wanted to take this time and just see if there are any questions that you guys might have for Cosito or for myself about the conflict, about Invisible Children, about Jay Stelber, one of my very good friends. Any questions you might have, we'd love to. Yes?
Can you tell us a little bit, Cosito, about when you would go out and sleep in the jungle, were you on the ground? Were you in trees? Were you alone? Or did you go with maybe a buddy? Or, I mean, how did that happen day after day?
Yeah, thank you so much for that. At that time, everyone was looking for anywhere that you can be safe from abductions. And so, as young kids, we were forced to be very creative and do everything that you can do in order to be safe. So, depends on your thinking today, but every day, we were sharp enough to think of everything new, because that was the only way that we were left with like abductions. So, sometimes you go out, most times you go out alone, because when you go in the group, you'll be like more simple. We see that there's a group of people on the other side. So most of us prefer to go out alone in our own. And then you find somebody that seems to be safe, and then you have a line up with some kids who go out on trees and then they stay the night after that. But it was depending on the group.
Start. In fact, hey, did you make somebody?
last October.
October to go underground and help out with a lot of logistical support and intelligence, too, specifically the UPDF, which is the Ugandan Army. More recently, the AU, or the African Union, has mobilized 5,000 troops who are not just from Uganda, but from all four countries. So Uganda, South Sudan, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Central African Republic. So there's now four countries participating in this one giant unit, if you will, who have all mobilized and said, listen, this is our regional problem, let's fix it. So that's the, you know, the most recent update. That was about a month ago that they were deployed. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you. Yes, sir.
What's next after April
20th? April 20th. So this is really cool. This is our last screening before April 20th. And we're very excited. Our team specifically will be visiting Washington, D.C. to take part in the event. Visiting us will be, as you saw the film, Jolie Pash, she's our country director. She'll be with us in D.C. as well as Jacob. He's a Uganda boy who will be in attendance as well. So really, really exciting. This event is taking place across the world. We've had tens of thousands of people sign up to come to the event. We received emails about 2012 from over 200 different countries. So it's really a truly global event. This is, we originally thought, let's cover North America. Let's make sure that everybody who wakes up on Saturday in North America knows Congo. But this is a worldwide thing. It's not just here anymore. It's happening everywhere. So that's really exciting.
Can I just invite the congregation to tomorrow night at 6 o'clock?
Okay, so if there are more questions, our team will be hanging out for however long. If you guys have additional questions, we definitely want to be able to answer those. We're here and then we're open book. Before I dismiss class, if you will, I just want to give you guys a few extra things that we're looking to do. This film has been seen, again, all over the world, but just because you have that knowledge doesn't necessarily mean anything's going to happen unless we take informed action. That is the most important thing. So when we visit high schools, when we visit colleges, we tell students, hey, this is what we need. We need you to engage in your elected officials, your policymakers, the people who sign the bill. Students, 20 years old from now, two resolutions were introduced, one through Congress, one through the House. One through the Senate, one through the House. Since then, almost 100 members have signed on to this 2012 Congressional Resolution, which is huge. It provides support to the international effort to defeat Coney brought to justice. So we're asking you to also do that. We have lots of letterhead here, letters. We have information for your elected officials. We're encouraging them to please sign on. Virginia has not yet had both sides of the town yet signed on. So we're really working hard here in the state. Yes, ma'am. Having us here in your church has really been an honor. So thank you, and again, thank you, Salva, for coordinating and having me.